That was last night when the Nats clinched the National League pennant, sweeping the Cardinals 4-0. So that was that. There was a lot of pink hats around here 15 years ago. You remember those 4 days in October when they came back and beat the Yankees and then, of course, sweeping the Cardinals in the World Series to win their first World Series in 86 years. So we had a lot of that around here 15 years ago. So we can relate. We can definitely relate. You know what's great, though, about that? The one thing that's great about it, I could care less because I have no feeling whatsoever. The thing I like about it the most is that they're doing it the first season without Bryce Harper.
How long have you been a Nats fan for? Since today.
Since today. Yeah, you sound like Miami Heat fans from circa 2010 through 2014 till LeBron left for 4 years. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But at least he admits it. I got no problem with that guy. Hey, you know, it is what it is. The Nats have been there since 2005.
To the bandwagon.
Yeah. So it is what it is. But, hey, kudos to them. Kudos to them. Red Sox are at home. They're golfing. They're surfing. They're laying out at the beach. I don't know. I don't know what Alex Cora is doing. Maybe he's still getting mad about Donald Trump's perceived lack of support for Puerto Rico. I don't know. I really don't know. All I know is that I don't know how you go to winning 118 games a year ago. Oh, 119 a year ago. Yeah, 119 games a year ago. And then you missed the playoffs the following year with basically the same team except for two guys who sucked this year, Joe Kelly and Craig Kimbrell.
Not great.
That doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. A great text I will read on the line. I read the bad ones too. So it's 37937. Excellent show. Night shift approves. Thank you, 978. I appreciate you. I see you. And all the people that hate me, but you're listening right now, that's all I care about. So I was getting back before to saying this, and I truly believe this, so I'm not just saying this to, quote, play radio here. I don't believe that the Patriots are the best team in the NFL today because they haven't proven it. Don't judge by records. Erod was one start away from winning 20 games. Does that mean that Erod's better than Garrett Cole? No, it doesn't. So don't go by records at all. It's not about the record. The Patriots haven't played anyone. Their opponents this season are combined that they've already played are 7-21. So let's go through these opponents. To start the season, the Patriots, you know, it's a perennial power team in the AFC. They've sort of been the Patriots' rival since Peyton Manning retired. And since they drafted a guy by the name of Ben Roethlisberger who actually played the season opener here in Foxborough, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Patriots win that one on Sunday night after raising banner number 6. Then they go on the road to face a team that I don't know if they were in the SEC West with Alabama and LSU would be above them. I truly mean that. The Miami Dolphins. Oh, it just continues to get worse. It continues to get worse and worse and worse. How about the New York Jets? Wow. All right. This team's got a winning record, but they don't have much of an offense. The Buffalo Bills, folks. All right. We'll give the Buffalo Bills a little credit. They are, you know what? They are what they are. Will they make the playoffs? No. But they got a great defense. They're 4-1. I'll give the Bills a little credit. How about the New York Football Giants? So there you have it. The Patriots' opponents this year, who, by the way, when you look at this schedule and you want to talk about how great this team is, you better be really careful. And I think a lot of people should be very careful on the fact that
this team, they haven't played anyone. And until they get into the heart of their schedule, there's nothing more that you can say. They just haven't played anyone. That's it. And is it their fault? No. No. They were the benefactors of an easy schedule. That's all. It's not the Patriots' fault. It's the league's fault. I don't know how the team that's gone to 4 out of the last 5 Super Bowls can get the easiest or second easiest schedule in the National Football League. I don't. I really don't. So updating that after last Sunday's action, the records of their opponents this season are 10-23. That's sad, man. That's real, like, wow. So we don't know how good this team truly is. And I'm wanting to see, but I can't measure it. I can't measure it when you haven't beaten anyone whatsoever. Nothing but garbage on your schedule. Nothing. Take the Bills away, and the combined record of the Patriots' opponents are 6-22. It's awful. And I'm going to tell you, this is where they're going to run into problems when they start to face the gauntlet of their schedule, starting with Cleveland here in a couple weeks. They don't. Now, you're sort of relying on a guy who is consistently unreliable from a health perspective. And I'm talking about a guy like Isaiah Wynn, who he can't stay on the field. So you're expecting this guy to come back and do what Trent Brown did a year ago. So when everybody sits here and talks about, oh, the Patriots, they need this guy. Let's make a trade. Would you trade Michael Bennett for A.J. Green? Would you trade Michael Bennett for Emmanuel Sanders? Would you trade Michael Bennett for Stephon Diggs? I heard someone call today another sports talk show and say, oh, I would trade Michael Bennett to Cincinnati for A.J. Green and Tyler Eifert. Now, even if the Bengals are the dumbest team in the league, they'd have to be, like, the NFL would have to disallow that trade. That would, like, why would the Bengals do that trade? There's no way the Bengals would ever want to trade both Tyler Eifert and A.J. Green for a 33, soon-to-be 34-year-old Michael Bennett who looks disinterested, lifeless, and out of shape. If you're talking about making a trade, you want to go ahead and pony up something, trade Michael Bennett in a second rounder to the Redskins and get Trent Williams, because you know that guy can protect Tom Brady's blind side. That's the trade. That's the one you want. If you want to solidify this team to make sure they go to their 5th Super Bowl in 6 years, that's what you do. 617-779-7937, because I'm telling you right now, folks, Isaiah Wynn, he's like Chad Pennington of offensive linemen. He's always hurt. He can never get on the field. And this is a problem. Now, maybe, just maybe with all these, you know, ranting and ravings of Michael Bennett and how great he, of Trent, Isaiah Wynn, before the season and how great he was during training camp and during preseason and this, that, and the other. That's great. What's it doing for Tom Brady and the Patriots right now? Absolutely nothing. Which is why I tell you, do the Patriots have the best record in the NFL? Yes. Are they the best team in the NFL? No. I don't think they are. I'll take the Niners over the Patriots. You know why? Because the Niners have actually beaten real teams this year. They have. The Patriots have beaten no one. And when I say no one, I mean absolutely no one. It's bad. And we'll find out in a few weeks when the schedule actually starts to get tougher. And this team starts to move on and get to playing some of the big boys or big teams, the teams that are actually legitimate. But I can tell you right now, there's no way I look at this team 6-0 record and feel great about it. What about you? 617-779-7937. Not to mention they don't have a number one receiver. They don't have a tight end, which begs the question, oh, you want to ask so far who the Niners have beaten, how their schedule was? Okay. It hasn't been great, but they've at least beaten Cleveland and the Rams, who are better than anybody the Patriots have beaten so far. And I'm sorry, I still think the Rams are better than the Bills. The Bills, to me, you don't have a quarterback. But we'll find out with the Niners coming up. They got Carolina at home in a couple weeks, the same day the Patriots play Cleveland at home. So we'll find out how good the Niners really are. But Jimmy G, 5-0 this season. Amazing record as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. So from my standpoint, best record, yes. Best team, no. I don't see it. Offensively, the Patriots are lacking a lot. They don't have the same offense that they've had in recent years. Even 2 years ago when Julian Edelman was hurt the entire season. That season was tremendous. Like that offense, you had Gronk, who was still Gronk. Amendola stepped up that year. Brandon Cooks was here that year. That team was still really good. And this year, I just don't see exactly what I saw in years past, in terms of offense. Now, I'm not blaming this on Brady. You took away his biggest weapon, his number one receiver, a guy who had 15 touchdown receptions a year ago in Antonio Brown.
Yeah, you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me.
A guy that should be here, but he's not because of a text message. Are you kidding me? You took away Brady's biggest weapon because you wanted to bow down to the social justice warrior cancel culture that we live in? That's why you bowed down to it? For a text message? You got to be kidding me. But that's what happens. It is what it is. And for me, I'm like, you know what? You might not have needed him in the first 7 games. You will all be begging for Antonio Brown in a couple weeks. And you will all look at the situation. See, when you're caught up in sort of a situation that everybody just like cancel culture. And now it's about Jeremy Renner. That Jeremy Renner's allegedly done, the actor. He's done some things that he's fighting with his wife right now in custody for battle of their daughter. And now all these things have come out about Jeremy Renner, who have said things that allegedly about women getting equal pay. Not his problem to worry about. He slut-shamed some black widow, said a transphobic slur. He defended a neo-Nazi character and said the N-word a few times and also had drugs near his baby and allegedly threatened to kill his wife. Oh, yes, folks, there's an article about all that. I'm not telling you anything that's not out there. Just go to People Anywhere. It's all over there on the internet about Jeremy Renner right now. It's everywhere. But for me, you got to be kidding me. It's just like, this is ridiculous. In terms of where this team is and where they could be. The only thing worse than the Patriots' opponents this year has been the officiating, which has been absolute garbage. The officiating, who, by the way, absolutely gifted a game to Green Bay the other night. When Detroit took a 13-0 lead, and I'm at a bar in Clearwater Beach, and I'm watching this game, and I'm saying, oh, the refs will do everything they can to bring Green Bay back into this game, and that's exactly what they did. And I got to give kudos. If we have the sound of Booger McFarland going off on the refs, who basically gave the Packers the game the other night, it is like credit to Booger McFarland. And you could say what you want. I think Booger's been a breath of fresh air to the Monday Night Football booth. You notice we're not complaining about him every Tuesday morning like we were the last couple of years with Jason Witten, who stumbled over the English language worse than Wiggy. So we're not doing that. It's Booger McFarland has been unbelievable. And they completely bleeped up the other night on Trey Flowers, former New England Patriot. They completely screwed Trey Flowers the other night. Here's Booger McFarland going off during the game.
I know a lot of people talk about the officiating and where we are in 2019, John Perry. But when blown calls, when blatant calls cost teams football games, that's where we as players, the coaches, and even the fans in America, if we can see it, the officials should be able to see that. And I think that's why we're all a little bit disgruntled about how the game is being officiated and some of the plays are costing teams games with the wrong calls.
Yeah, I mean, 5-6 weeks into this season, we're seeing officiating be...
And this is it with Trey Flowers.
It's a headline story, week in and week out. Boog, I get it. Mistakes are going to be made, but you know what? We're inside shoulder pads. We're on shoulders here.
Oh, he goes off. He continues to go off. So the NFL VP of Operations, Troy Vincent, said, quote, after you review it, the foul wasn't there, end quote. Well, guess what Trey Flowers had to say? He said today, quote, it means nothing. The score's still the same and we lost, so it is what it is. And he also went on to say, I knew what I was doing. He was, quote, I knew I was doing it right. He said with a smile, I didn't need any validation. Now I guess it validates that it can be called right. It was bad. It's so bad. And they called it on him twice. And the last one took any chance of Detroit having a chance to win. It just basically set Green Bay up, which was nothing more than an extra point for the game-winning field goal by Mason Crosby. And you hate to see somebody get ripped off the way that the Lions did. So my question is this. With all this modern technology that we have that we didn't have 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we didn't have this. And not to mention the rules that are in place. Why is the officiating worse than ever?
I didn't know there was a flag to the chest.
Oh, how the refs got that bad. Oh, man. You know what the NFL, you know, I love how the NFL, they will say whether or not the refs got it right or wrong after the fact. But you know who needs to be held accountable? The officials after the game. Why these guys get escorted away in a police escort and get, you know, go out to the airport and they have zero accountability to the media. No. Make them accountable for their actions and for calls that could possibly cost the Detroit Lions a spot in the postseason. Think about if you're a Patriots fan and that happened the other night. That happened the other night to Jamie Collins. Think about how you would feel. And it cost you a game that could be pivotal in making a run to the playoffs. That's how significant not one, but both of those calls are. And it just goes to show you that as bad as the officiating is, the NFL doesn't have an answer. That's the worst part of this whole thing. There is no answer for the National Football League. None. And I don't get it. But the officiating continues to be, as you heard there, a major storyline. And it's not getting any better. It's so bad. How would you fix it if you were Roger Goodell and the NFL? 617-779-7937. Oh, by the way, Trey Flowers, never in his career has had that called on him before in his life. He had it twice in a span of one quarter on Monday night. Oh, you referee Jeff Rice, you umpire, you are a complete, total freaking idiot. We'll get to that coming up next, but first, it's time for trending. It is what it is. 617-779-7937. I'm getting into the NFL officiating, also talking about the Patriots' fake 6-0 record. Let's go back to the phones. Brian in Providence, thank you for staying up with me tonight, Brian. Good to talk to you.
Hey, I'm a night owl anyways.
So oh, well, it's good. You. It's good to have you. Make you a nightly eyed owl. Then I need some good night callers. So I like those. Any of those post-midnight callers going to get a lot of love from me.
Well, hopefully I don't disappoint you.
No. Nope.
Anyways, I think what it is today with the officiating is the NFL rules have made it too much for them to officiate, I think. I think what they do, they second-guess themselves a lot when it's either a penalty or whatever. And they're making themselves probably a little bit, they have anxiety about throwing the flag or not throwing the flag. And these NFL rules, I mean, the offense has it all. The defense, if I was going to be a football player today, I wouldn't want to be a defensive player, dude.
Oh, I know, Brian. Brian, that's why I like.
It's sickening.
Go ahead.
No, it's like every time that there's a pass play, like a long pass play, now that I'm watching, I'm like, okay, there's going to be a replay. And if it's not the official, it's going to be the TV replay. I'm tired of that.
Well, I like too, Brian. I think Hall of Famer Ed Reed came out on the Rich Eisen show last week, and he just basically said what he was talking about. He's like, where can defensive players, like Trey Flowers, like that wasn't, neither one of those were penalties. These guys can't touch the quarterback anymore. Every time they make a move towards a guy with a ball, it's defenseless player. These guys are getting fined, and they're not making the type of money that guys like Russell Westbrook, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, and James Harden are making. They're getting fined. The game itself, the product is nowhere near as good as it used to be.
No, I don't even like watching it much. I mean, if it's not my team, I don't really watch the games much because I'm tired of the replays.
But here's my question to you and everybody out there, Brian, at 617-779-7937. Why, with all this modern technology and all the 8,000 cameras that we have all over the field and pylon cams and all this stuff, why does the officiating suck now more than it ever did, even going back to the days where we grew up in the 80s and 90s where Madden and Summerall were doing games on CBS and Fox?
That's a good question. All right, I can probably answer that. I don't know how intelligently, but maybe the officials are like, you know, we don't get paid enough, or we really don't.
But
that's just it.
They are getting paid good.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they haven't. I don't know if it's the officiating or if it's all the replays that they are putting on the TV. It could be all the replays too. Like I said in the beginning, the officials are probably afraid to throw flags now. They're like second guessing themselves because of all the replays. I really think that the NFL took out a lot of the game when they did instant replay. I didn't think it would be this overwhelming of instant replays of every game where the game lasts like another 15, 20 minutes.
And so what do you think the NFL, though, ultimately, like for this season, Brian, do you think they're just stuck and there's nothing they can do to change the trend of piss poor officiating?
You can't change it in mid-season, dude. You can't change it in mid-season.
Right. And here's the thing. How about the thing where you're able to throw a flag if you think that there's pass interference? Less than 17%, even less than that. Maybe like less than 10% of calls have actually gone towards coaches throwing the flag, saying there's PI, and then it actually being PI.
When actually, if you look at the coaches when they do throw those flags, if usually they show them online and there's somebody on the sideline with them that is seeing the replay and not watching just the telethon that's up on the, you know, on the scoreboard thing, but there's somebody who has a tablet who's watching the replay and telling the coach, yeah, you should throw the flag, or yeah, you shouldn't, because if you look very closely, the coach is always looking around at that guy and, you know, talking to somebody, and then they say, yeah, do it, or yeah, don't. And that takes about a minute, too.
Oh, I know. Everything takes so much time. I mean, what they did to Trey Flowers the other night. I mean, he's a former Patriot.
That
was despicable. That was absolutely. Hey, Brian, great phone call, man. Make sure you keep him coming after midnight.
All right, bro, man. You have a good night.
You too, Brian. Thank you. A lot of love from Providence. A lot of love. I got to head down to Federal Hill again sometime soon to have some great Italian food right there in Federal Hill. It's just that's the thing I don't get, that as much as we continue to make progress, everything continues to regress when it comes to officiating. I mean, that's just that game on Monday night. That's just that game. How about the game where the call where Detroit didn't throw the flag for pass interference on their receiver in the end zone, who got completely manhandled, and there was no doubt it was PI by the Packers defensive back. That call, too. So many missed calls, but the Trey Flowers, to me, will be the one that both of those won. When you literally, it was like Christmas and Hanukkah come early for Green Bay and all the Packer fans. They literally gifted that to them. They gifted it to them. Absolutely gifted it to them. And what a joke. What an absolute freaking joke. And it's embarrassing for the league, because credibility isn't just everything. It's the only thing. And when you lose that credibility, and we've always talked about with the NBA, especially how superstars get calls, that, you know, guys like Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Steph Curry, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Kawhi Leonard are going to get, and it's true. It's a star-driven league, and the superstars are going to get, I mean, LeBron James gets just about every call he wants. LeBron James travels more than Magellan and Christopher Columbus, and he never gets called for it. But the NFL has hit rock bottom this year when it comes to officiating. And it leaves a really sour taste in your mouth. And remember that Patriots game a few years ago against the Steelers with the tight end Jesse James? You know, the Patriots could have been screwed out of some of these calls too, you know. I don't remember the Patriots getting screwed out of many bad calls except Monday night, I want to say, 2013 season, Monday Night Football against the Panthers. And they were down there, and Luke Kuechly absolutely decapitated Rob Gronkowski. And they initially threw the flag, then they picked it up, and Brady went after the refs in the tunnel yelling at them, and the Patriots got ripped off that game because Rob Gronkowski got absolutely, completely, totally mugged, and they didn't call anything. They didn't call one thing. It is what it is. 617-779-7937. The Celtics season will actually begin a week from tonight in Philadelphia against the 76ers. So the C's getting underway. I like how the NBA preseason only lasts four quick games before you notice it's over. It's not like spring training or NFL preseason where it seems like it takes forever. It's a quick four games. Boom, you're done. Move on. Let's get to the regular season earlier. I like it much better that way. All right, we're going to close it out. Final segment. We will do this. We'll get to some of your phone calls. If you want to call in, you got one more segment to do so. It's the last live show until Greg Hill in the morning comes on at 6 a.m. 617-779-7937. Mark with a C. James. All right, final segment here. And I want to just let you know, all you crazies out there, especially the ones calling after midnight, I love you guys. I appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. And we are loaded up for a final segment, which I love. I love. So we're going to go right to you guys. You say whatever you want to say, and it's your show. We'll go right to you. Tim in Attleboro. What's up, Tim?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Good.
Nice to hear you.
Good to talk to you, Tim.
Last time I spoke with you, you were on your way down to Florida, Miami, and I just wondered if you knew this guy who used to have the Big O's back, and he walked away from the station when they canned Big O, but Pete Shepard,
I know of Pete the Meat Shepherd. I've never met him, but I know of him, and I like Pete the Meat. I like Pete the Meat. He's a good guy.
Yep.
He's a good guy.
I'm glad he's doing good down there and all that. But one other thing, I'll just say this. Is Josh Gordon look to go this week? And I have one more thing I'll just say. LeBron James and what he said about Daryl Morey, I think, from the Houston Rockets. If he wasn't the best basketball player on the planet, his job would probably be changing light bulbs because he was idiotic. You know, he has some kind of monetary interest over in China.
Of course.
And about Josh Gordon, is he going to play this week?
I don't, you know, Tim, that's up, like, we'll see what happens. You know, the good news is that they don't play till Monday night. I still, obviously, you never know with Bill, but you hope he will. He hasn't played that great yet this season, but they're going to need him Monday night. Don't listen, this Jets team, they're ready. They already beat the Cowboys. They're not scared of the Patriots. They're not scared at all. They got a pretty good defense, and they got a future franchise quarterback in Sam Darnold. I love this kid. I loved him at USC. I knew he was going to be I knew the Jets finally got the quarterback position right for the first time since they acquired Vinny Testaverde in the late 90s. Joe in Rhode Island, you're up next. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Mark? How you doing, buddy?
Good, Joe. What do you say, baby?
Hey, I'm heading back from Maine right now. It's like a typhoon out here. I'm driving a box truck. I'm blowing all over the place.
Be careful driving, man. Be careful driving.
Yeah. No, you know, everybody's talking about this. First of all, I want to say I'm a Bears fan, but I love the Patriots. I always loved the Patriots. I've been at the old Foxborough Stadium where it was just terrible.
Yep.
Aluminum seating.
Hey, I'll tell you, I know he's sleeping right now in Western Mass, dude. Listen. My first shot of brandy was when I was 8 years old. My dad took me to the old Foxborough Stadium in the old 80s, and it was cold as hell in November or December game.
Yeah.
And I think we might have gone to see him play like the Detroit Lions, even when they had Eric Hipple as their starting quarterback. And dude, I took my first shot of brandy, and I was like in love. I'm like, oh, this is good. It keeps me warm.
That's great. That is great. Yeah, it was terrible over there. The wind, it was freezing. And the people, oh my God, it was amazing. It was fights all the time. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, with the Patriots right now, you know, they talk about your defense and, you know, they try to compare them to the Bears. And I can see that because they are they're incredible defense.
But they still haven't played anyone, Joe.
Exactly. And what I was thinking is, you know, Teddy Bruschi was on talking about kind of like going back to the old way of running the ball, this and that. Yeah, you know, you could do that, but you need an offensive line that is healthy, or, you know, get rid of that guy there, that, you know, trade him off and get somebody in there, because without protection of Brady and without being open and whole, it doesn't matter if you have a guy that can run the field. You know, if you got guys running in there, like we'll say the Texans with a three-man line,
yeah,
that's not going to work.
No.
It's not going to work. I always say the basic thing with football is pretty straight up. You're going to have your O-line, your D-line, and then your quarterback, and you start from there. Without that, I don't care who you have brought in the field. The other point I wanted to say was Amendola. What do you think about this?
I
don't want him.
No. The Patriots need they need a left tackle who can actually stay on the field and not be hurt like his entire career, which is Isaiah Wynn's entire career. We'll just call him like IR, Isaiah Reserve, because it's all he's been on IR. He's always hurt. I mean, you know, the best ability is availability. Get on the field. Stay on the field. George in New Hampshire, you're up next. What's up, George?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. I was thinking about the officiating problem, mm-hmm. and why can't we bring Google into the mix? Maybe with some lightweight sensors in the gloves, some lightweight sensors in the pads, and then we know with their GPS technology exactly where the hands are, and let Google handle the replays or whatever.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Hey, George, I'll be the first to tell you. Hey, I'll take you doing the Google sensor thing with the gloves, and I'll do you even one more. I'd like to have robots behind the plate in Major League Baseball, so everything that it's a strike is a strike, it's a ball, it's a ball. I literally would love to take out the human element of Major League Baseball. Seriously, I'd love to have robots officiate every game to make sure every call is right.
I'm telling you, it's simple, and the technology's already there.
Yeah. Hey, I'm all with you. Eliminate these jobs.
With the NFL.
Yeah, eliminate these jobs. Don't have to see people like Gene Steratore, who's retired now, but people like him who love to see themselves on camera. And the guy who also retired that would wear the small ref shirts, Hockley. Oh, I couldn't stand that guy. He was such a tool bag. What a tool. He was such a tool. Thanks for the phone call, George. Thanks for listening, too. I appreciate it. Joe's up in Warren, Rhode Island. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, Mark, with a C?
Good. How are you?
I'm driving in quite a storm, trying to avoid some trees on the road. And I was going to ask you, do you don't think Buffalo was a good opponent at all?
What'd you say, Joe?
You don't think Buffalo was a good opponent at all? They're 4-1 still.
Yeah, no, they're okay. They're okay, but they don't have any offense. They don't have a quarterback. It's like they have a great defense with no offense, Joe. That's the only thing. It's like, you know, I look at this team and it's like, you know, take away the Bills on the Patriots, 6 wins. Take away the win against the Bills, and the combined opponents are 6-22, dude.
Yeah, well, the Bills are in second place in the AFC right now.
So in the AFC East, but which is a crap, what's a horrible division.
Yeah, I guess. And then I got a question for you for Florida. Of all the places you've been to in Florida, what's your favorite place?
Well, in terms of what, restaurant or in terms of a town to stay in or what?
Oh, town to stay in, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go Clearwater. Well, it's Tampa, St. Pete, Clearwater. But to stay in, if you're going to go with your family and you want to have a great time, just stay down in Clearwater on Clearwater Beach.
All right, thanks so much, Mark. Have a great morning.
Oh, you too, Joe. Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. All right. Hey, Nick LePan, the man, I appreciate you. Great job producing. To all you people, everybody who called tonight, everybody who listened, everybody who texted on the line 37937, someone said, is it possible, Mark, now that sports betting has been legalized, just saying they coincide? Well, I don't know here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I wouldn't hold our breath on that one. We're waiting for Charlie Baker to come through on that one, and they need to, because there's just an article in the Boston Globe on how casino revenue has been down across the board, so they need sports betting to be legalized inside this state ASAP. I'll be back tomorrow night after Thursday Night Football between the Chiefs and Broncos. So until then, have a tremendous Thursday. Be safe out there. The weather's going to be bad throughout the day and night, so be safe out there. And again, thank you for listening to yours truly, Mark with a C on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.